God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 17th day of January, 2010, and you are listening to our Sunday evening broadcast. Our sermon is from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, The Sign Gifts and Love. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Well, if you miss him this morning, Tyler Butterfield was here. We praise the Lord for that. My family said he'll be here a couple more days. Now, is he in Iraq or Afghanistan now? Is that Afghanistan? So pray for him. He'll have to head on back naturally. And so, but he was able to come home for a short visit, and we praise the Lord for that. Always enjoy that when our military guys can come on back, and ladies as well. It's always a wonderful thing. So hope you get a chance to look them up. See them and say hello when you get that opportunity. Praise the Lord. Good to see Mom back tonight. San Diego Chargers are playing. That doesn't mean anything to most of you. I understand that. But we're from San Diego, and it was a real close call. I wasn't sure if Mom was coming tonight, you know, but appreciate her faithfulness, you know, and not staying home for the game. Amen. No, good stuff. So we're back in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 tonight. We're going to look at the third part tonight of the spiritual gifts, and then I'd like to expand just a little bit on the sign gifts, because we do get a lot of questions probably throughout the year about the different sign gifts, and particularly the gift of tongues. And so, Lord willing, on Wednesday nights, we'll bring a message on the gift of tongues particularly, and the different aspects of that, and because, like I said, it is something that's asked frequently, every year at least. Somebody brings it up, has questions about it, which is great. And so we'll take some time in 1 Corinthians 14 if you want to read ahead this week before Wednesday and kind of prep yourself for that and have a little bit of information. That'll be good and help us to go through that smoothly. But tonight we want to look at the third aspect. We talked about the support gifts. We talked a little bit about the serving gifts. And then we've also now tonight going to talk about the sign gifts. And once again, kind of doing an overview of the different gifts. I was reading and came across, I think it was Michael Reagan, on Ronald Reagan's funeral. They were kind of doing a sunset memorial, and when they were doing that, he got up and did a little reading, and I'd like to kind of read that to you, just his own words. He said this, Michael described the greatest gift a child can receive, and he said, I was so proud to have the Reagan name and to be Ronald Reagan's son. What a great honor. He gave me a lot of gifts as a child. He gave me a horse, gave me a car, gave me a lot of things, but there's a gift he gave me that I think is wonderful for every father to give every son. Last Saturday, when he opened his eyes for the last time, that's when I realized the gift that he gave to me, that he was going to be with his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He had, back in 1988, on a flight from Washington, D.C. to Point Mugu, told me about his love of God, his love of Christ as his Savior. I didn't know then what it all meant, but I certainly know now. I can't think of a better gift for a father to give a son, and I hope to honor my father by giving my son Cameron and my daughter Ashley the very same gift he gave to me. Knowing where he is this very moment, this very day that he is in heaven, I can only promise my father this. Dad, when I go, I will go to heaven too. And you and I and my sister Maureen, who went before us, will dance with the heavenly host of angels before the presence of God. We will do it to melanoma and Alzheimer's free. Thank you for letting me share my father, Ronald Wilson Reagan. I thought about that. What a great tribute. I'll often mention almost the exact same thing at funerals, that the greatest gift you can give your children is a gift of salvation. There is no greater gift, to tell you the truth. I can't think of anything that I'd rather give to my children. The legacy that I'd like to leave is to know that they accepted Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior. And so without a doubt, if we're going to talk about gifts, and I realize that's a different sense, that's God's gift to us, in the fact that Jesus Christ died, and all can have that gift. That is one gift everybody can have. We're talking about tonight, and have been for the last couple weeks, gifts that are particular gifts. You know, but I want to say, before we get too far, and that's why I brought that up, you know, you don't have a spiritual gift until you have Jesus Christ. So until you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and you have a testimony like that, the spiritual gifts mean nothing to you. They're nothing but a tinkling cymbal. They're nothing but noise. You know why? They don't make any difference until you know Jesus Christ. And so that's the first step, is know Jesus. Then, yeah, find your spiritual gift. We talked about the support gifts, and we'll reiterate. We talked about those being like pastors and teachers and evangelists that support the church and lead the church. Very important. Today we did an overview on serving gifts. Now, we didn't exhaust it. We kind of give you a taste of what serving gifts are. Hopefully you'll pursue a little bit more and study and pray and read. And there's not like a passage you can go to, by the way, that will say, now let me give you everything about the gift of ministry. Let me help you with the gift. No, I mean, just throughout your reading and by praying and asking the Lord, you'll notice you have a propensity in a certain area. You have a desire that is stronger than most people have a desire in that area. And you found an ability that maybe you didn't have before, that after you got saved in a spiritual realm is suddenly strong. And you'll begin to look and say, you know what? I have a gift that lines up with one of these gifts that God's talked about. And it's a wonderful thing. The last group, though, is what we call the sign gifts. Now, the sign gifts are probably the most exciting gifts. I'd say they are the most exciting gifts. As we look at them tonight and read them, it would be the gifts you'd want to see all the time. I mean, it'd be neat to come into church and you had the gift of miracles, you know, and you had the gift of healings. Well, who wouldn't want to go to a service where there's a healing service? I mean, let's just get real. I've wanted to do it for years and nobody will let me. I mean, the opportunity to hit someone on the head and not get in trouble, it excites a pastor more than you can imagine. Okay, but you know, sure. And people today flock to places like that. They rent stadiums and they propagate that we're going to heal or we're going to speak in tongues or, you know, whatever we're going to do in that realm. And so, yeah, today as you look at it, that is exciting to people. They would love to be a part of that. And so because of it, it brings up a lot of controversy, a lot of questions that have to be answered. But what's interesting that I want you to see tonight is the sign gifts are not the greatest gifts. We would think, physically, humanly speaking, they are. We might list them that way. Well, let's see. The gift of miracles, to be able to perform a miracle, to change nature. I mean, Jesus did all the time. I mean, to walk on water? Wow. I mean, that's pretty awesome. You know, we'd say, now that's the best power, the best gift. Yet, interesting, as we get into our study, even on Wednesday, they're not. Matter of fact, they're more base gifts than they are higher gifts. Well, then what's the greatest gift? What gift should we aspire to have? Well, let me help you with that. First of all, aspire to have the gift that you already have. In other words, God's already given you a gift. In other words, aspire to learn that and understand it. But God tells us some things about gifts and kind of, if we're going to list them, and we're not going to really go through and do all that, but if we're going to say what's the greatest, we must once again take a look at them. So let's stand, if you would, and we will look at the sign gifts tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll head back over there, which was where we were at our first lesson. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4. It says, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are diversities of operations, but it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given, and he begins here, the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, diverse kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, jump down to verse 25, if you would. Why are these given? Well, that there should be no schism in the body. That means division. You know, schism is kind of a weird word, but it means division. But that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And God has set some in the church, first apostles, secondary prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet. In other words, desire earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the gifts that you've given us, Lord, and the knowledge that you have given us about those gifts, Lord. And even the practical things that we can see inside of the very body of Christ, Lord, that helps us to understand just a little bit more. But Lord, as we take some time to just overview these gifts tonight, may we have a better understanding of what you've done for us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Spiritual gifts, sign gifts. What are they? Well, to look at this, we're going to take a look at these gifts, and I'm going to outline these just a little bit, give you kind of just a quick little synopsis of them, if you would like to put it that way. But if you go back to our reading in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's just go ahead and start there. We'll get through this in verse 8. It says, for one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. Now, I mentioned three today that I kind of put in the category of the serving gifts still, because I do see them still in practice today. And yet some may not. These first three we're going to talk about, wisdom, knowledge and faith, some do put them fully in the sign gifts. Okay, and the reason we're going over them right now, because they are listed in this passage of Scripture. In other words, they're in the sign gifts, and they don't believe that necessarily they are for today. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. These three gifts, though, the first being the word of wisdom. You say, preacher, what is the word of wisdom? Well, I do believe there's two parts to it. I do believe that there's a revelatory side of it. In other words, that by inspiration and the power of God, that people like prophets and apostles would get special words of wisdom that they were able to give out, which was from the really words of the word of God, to tell you the truth, that God gave to them. And it was very necessary for them to do that. In other words, in a time when they did not have translations throughout all the churches, they needed to be able to know what the truth was. And the word of wisdom particularly is this, though. Words of wisdom was not really something new. And let me just clarify this. It wasn't new revelation per se as much as it was this. The word of wisdom was a person who was able to discern or apply knowledge that was already there. In other words, be able to take a truth like salvation, redemption, in a time where the Jews thought, hey, you had to be a part of the church, you had to work your way to heaven, and be able to clearly see it, clearly understand it, and clearly explain it. Now, those words of wisdom by the apostles and so forth, that may be of a revelatory manner, as we said, is gone. But I do believe today there are people in the church that have this ability of wisdom. In other words, to take knowledge that's already there, truth that's already been found, and able to explain it in a way that's just really, to tell you the truth, awesome. I mean, they put it out there and you're going, wow. I mean, they can just see it. I mean, the same thing you're reading, the same thing I'm reading, the same truth that's already been proven, but they're just able to have wisdom, in other words, to apply it in a way that the average person can understand. It's just amazing to me. I've been in church long enough to see this, and there's just certain people you go, wow. Let me explain. Remember in 1 Corinthians where Paul said, is there not a wise man among you? In other words, isn't there somebody that you would pick out in the church that is wise, that can answer this problem, this division in the church? Go to the wise man. Go to the man that has this ability, if you'd say, the words of wisdom. In other words, scripture that you already know, truth that you already know, but they can apply it to this problem that you're having right there. That's the word of wisdom. And we believe today, like I said, some don't, and that's fine. The other one's a word of knowledge. Definitely, again, a revelatory type. In other words, prophets would have new revelation, new knowledge that they would give. That's the word of God. It would be written down. And because of that, the Spirit of God would come upon them, inspire them in a wonderful way. Don't believe that's here today. However, once again, in the church, I do see, the more I minister, there are just some people that have this ability. They're smart. I mean, they're just able to just find nuggets of truth in the word of God that the rest of us just kind of miss. And it does not contradict anything in the word of God. I mean, whether it's through their interpretive ability, whatever it is, it's like God just gives them this knowledge, this intelligence. You know, if you want to call it a higher IQ, call it whatever you want. But I'm saying it's not just that they're smart in the world. I mean, in the spiritual realm, they just seem to have great knowledge. Now, once again, I believe from the apostle standpoint, the prophet standpoint, those things are gone. But from a practical standpoint, if you could put it that way, inside the church body, isn't it nice to have people that are smart spiritually? And I realize all of us can study and all of us can learn, but there are just some people that seem to retain it and present it well, and they seem to be able to find it. I put it in this context, our teachers at Central Baptist Church, especially our adult teachers, seem to have this ability to find knowledge in the word of God and bring it out. And then there's some other people in the church that take that knowledge and apply it. They're able to take knowledge that somebody else found that's been there, but they're able to dig it out, and then they apply it really well. So that's how I see those working together in the body of Christ. They just have this ability in the spiritual realm. And then faith. Third one is faith. Once again, if you accept that the gift of faith is still here today, all of us have a measure of faith, as the Bible tells us, that's been given to us. But have you run into those people that, gosh, I mean, they just have this amazing ability to believe that whatever God says, he's going to do it. And when no one else can see what's coming, they kind of come up and say, hey, it'll be okay. Hey, don't you worry about it. It's going to be fine. Why? We got a great God. Now, we all believe that. But come on, sometimes it's hard. I mean, it's hard. And you got this person that's just full of this faith, and they're encouraging the church, and they're coming and saying, God will do it. And they're bold, and they speak up, and it's just like nothing seems to bother them. You say, what is it? It's almost like God's given each church somebody with this greater ability for faith that helps all of us stay on track to not walk by sight, but to walk by faith, as the word of God says. Now, these are just some practical things. Once again, I don't debate people on those three. If you want to say, no, preacher, those three are definitely gone, I'll say, okay, sure. If that's what you believe, I'm not going to fight you on those things. You know why? There's not enough information on them, to tell you the truth. There's not enough that is there to really detail out. I just know in studying and reading and talking to other ministers and just being in church, it seems that a form of these three seem to be there. Well, then he goes on. After you get through those three and the aspects of those three, the faith and wisdom and knowledge, which are all necessary for the church. And by the way, let me just throw this out too, because I think it's important right now. There are people going around today preaching a word of knowledge that we do not believe. Okay? In other words, let's just be real honest. When you hear from the charismatic movement, I have a brand new word of knowledge, what they're saying is, I have a new revelation from God, and we reject that. And we'll show you that here in just a minute. There is no new revelation from God. You have the completed copy right here. Okay? And let me tell you why that's wrong. And let me tell you why that's bad. You know what would be nice? It would be nice to have the gift of the word of knowledge, and I'm able to say whatever I want to say. I mean, stop and think about it. I mean, I come up and who knows? I just come up with something brand new and I say, I have a word of knowledge from the Lord. You're to buy me a condo in Florida. It's a word of knowledge. God told me only. Well, you can't validate that. You don't know if it's true or not. And everybody goes, okay, I guess we do that. Except some of the smart ones go, that don't sound right, preacher. You know, but you see, a word of knowledge, I can say whatever I want. Oh, I got this brand new word of knowledge. And that's how they preach it, is that you have this new revelation that is even what we call extra biblical, that often will even contradict, thus saith the word of God, but it's from God, so everybody just doesn't say anything about it. Hey, that's not here today. Guess what? You can validate anybody by this book right here, thus saith the word of God. This is our revelation. So when you see this word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and primarily the Pentecostal charismatic movement, what they're saying is not what we're saying about it. I'm telling you, be very careful. That's dangerous teaching that's out there right now. And it is leading people astray because there's no way to support it. There's no way to validate it. And I'm telling you, there's not one biblical gift that will ever contradict this book. And if you find anything that contradicts this book or any minister that is speaking outside of this book, and do what they want to do the way that they want to do it, guess what? It's not from God. Okay? It's that clear. So I don't care who it is. Now, we're going to try to get into it a little bit on Wednesday, but I was talking to someone just before church. It just kind of reminded me, you know, often you'll see a lady stand up. And I'll tell you, we're going to show you biblically, a woman cannot be a preacher. Okay? We'll prove it on Wednesday. If you got a debate on that, show up Wednesday. I don't think I like that, preacher. Well, I tell you, if you disagree with it, the best thing to do is show up Wednesday. And you guys, any question you like. But I'm sorry, when a woman says, well, I just believe that God has called me. He gave me this word of knowledge that I'm to be a preacher. That's a flat lie. That's a lie. Matter of fact, you just set yourself up as a false prophet right there. Okay? And I'm going to say it. You're a heretic. Can't believe you said that. Yeah, I'll prove it to you Wednesday. Why? It doesn't match the word of God. You don't get outside of the Bible and go with our culture and say, hey, I just feel this. I believe this. That is so dangerous. You know why so many people are messed up today? Is because sign gifts that they're trying to implement today that don't work today in the way that they're trying to implement them. Why? Because there's no way to validate them. Now, you could validate them back then because God would validate them. But today, there's no way to validate them, and it gives people freedom to do whatever they want. And I don't see that in the Word of God. He goes on. There's a couple more sign gifts you need to see. Look at this. He goes on in verse 10. He says, to another, the working of miracles. I think you know what that is. If you've read your Bible, Jesus did miracles all the time, and they were amazing. I mean, Jesus would go against the law of nature. From producing food to walking on water to splitting the water. There's different times there were miracles. What's interesting about miracles, it's as though God allowed miracles through each new dispensation. If you understand dispensations, it's kind of an era or a period of time that God would give new revelation to mankind. If you go back and look at those, in the major ones, like the law, you'd have a guy like Moses standing up. Okay, and here's Moses standing up, and he had all these miracles he did to the Egyptians. Why? He was validating God's power and who he was. And they never contradicted the word of God. And then Jesus comes in the dispensation of grace. And what's he do? Miracles, signs and miracles. Why? Validating this was from God. But in every case, you know what happened? Those miracles faded away. They were always at the beginning of the dispensation, and then they faded off, and everything went on the way they were supposed to go. In other words, it kicked things off. Matter of fact, even when Jesus gets resurrected, and we're really getting to the church age, what do we have? We're going to talk about the gift of tongues here in a minute. What? Validating what took place, but then it faded off. So miracles are the first one, and we're talking about supernatural miracles. We're talking about things that God did not. Now, let me clarify. Can God still do miracles today? Oh, he does them all the time, folks. We have a big God. He can do whatever he wants. What we're talking about is God using a man to stand up with supernatural power. And he says something, he does something that is changes the law of nature, basically, as you see in the Word of God. That's not a gift here today. That's gone. There's another one. Look at the next one. It says, not only that, the work of miracles, to another prophecy. To another prophecy. And once again, we talked a little bit about that, being able to really, depending on the interpretation of the word here, being a prophet of new revelation. Then he says, to another discerning of spirits. Yeah, that was another important time. You remember Ananias and Sapphira when Peter confronted them? Really, the only way that he knew is the Holy Spirit of God just told him, hey, listen, Ananias and Sapphira are lying to you. That when they sold that property, they didn't give it all, and they're just trying to get the glory. And so they walk in, and you remember the display. You can go to the book of Acts and see it. Pretty amazing. By the way, don't lie in church. They lied to Peter, and Peter chews them out, and they drop dead. And they drag them out. I'd love to preach a message on that. If you lie in church, you're going to drop dead. Sounds good. But he had the gift of a discerning spirit. Now, I know sometimes we have discernment ability. If you're a mom, you have mom discernment, okay? It's just the way it is. But this was a spiritual discernment that was given. And once again, there's some debate whether that's still here or not. But in any case, then there's another diverse kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. Now, on Wednesday, because of the extent of this gift, and 1 Corinthians 14, a very large chapter discusses it, we're going to take a look at it. Tongues was basically this, though. As we mentioned, it came upon them, and like in the book of Acts, the individuals would be there, and the Spirit of God would come upon them, and all of a sudden, I, John Waterloo, could speak in German. Now, I'm going to help you. I can't speak German. I can't speak Spanish. I can barely speak English, if that helps you at all. Most of you are aware of that, especially the English majors. The fact of the matter is, then suddenly, I would have this ability. We're going to go into the reasons why, and that are very important, but all of a sudden, I could speak. Now, I want you to understand something. It was always a known language. Always a known language. Okay? It was never gibberish. It was not the language of angels, as we'll get into. It was always a known language. I've been in a service when people have spoken in tongues. Okay? I've seen it take place. Interesting, at the same time, someone had to interpret that. In other words, if nobody interpreted it, then guess what? It wasn't right. Once again, you follow history and you find tongues. And tongues were used in the New Testament from really about AD 60, let's see, 35, I'm sorry, about AD 35 to about AD 70. About AD 70, I don't know if you're aware of this, there is no recorded instance of tongues from AD 70 to about 1900, early 1900s. Matter of fact, early 1900s, it started in a place called Los Angeles, California, right down the street from us. And a preacher stood up and read the Word of God and says, you know what, we need to start speaking in tongues. Even though no one's spoken in tongues, you know, any recorded instance. Now, I take that back. There were two or three. There were a couple authors, very obscure, that mentioned it. What's interesting, though, is every one of those authors, there was two or three of them in my studies, every one of them, everything they ever wrote was totally thrown out because they found lies throughout everything that they ever did. In other words, we're talking secular people said, you cannot trust these people. And so they threw them out. But there is no recorded incidents from 70 AD to the early 1900s when this church started in Los Angeles, California. And now today, what, some 100 years later, it's taught in schools how to speak tongues. All these designations for tongues are here. And I'm here to tell you, what's interesting about that is why would it cease from 70 AD to 1900 AD and then all of a sudden pop up? Okay? You say, is it possible for gifts to cease? I'm so glad you asked that question. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you would. Now, we stop at 1 Corinthians 12 because in our Bibles, that's where it tells us to stop. And when you get down to verse 31, you're supposed to stop. So we stopped our reading. But I want you to see something that's very interesting as we're going to pull all this together in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If you know your Bible, you know 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is a very special chapter, okay? Let me explain. It's called the love chapter. Normally, when we talk about 1 Corinthians chapter 13, a pastor mentions it at a wedding. In marriage counseling, we say, love, hopeth all things, believeth all things, endureth all things. And that is totally true. I mean, there is no debate about that. It's a great application. It's wonderful. But are you aware what the love chapter is all about? Do you know the love chapter isn't there just for general love? As a matter of fact, if you put it in context, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 is spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, as you're going to see, is guess what? Spiritual gifts. And 1 Corinthians chapter 14, guess what? Spiritual gifts. We take it out of the middle and apply it in other areas, and that's totally fine. But the actual interpretation of love applies to one thing, using your spiritual gift for God. As a matter of fact, when he gets done talking about gifts in verse 31, he isn't done. He goes into chapter 13, verse 1. So now look at this. Go back to verse 31 of chapter 12, and let's put it in its flow. He's talking about above there the gifts of healing, speaking in tongues. And then he says, but covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Great. So what's that excellent way? I want to see the excellent way. Well, he goes on and tells you right there. He says, what is it? Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift of prophecy and I understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains and have not charity, look what he's saying, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me charity. And then the part we probably know the best. Charity suffereth long, charity is kind, charity envieth not, charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And now my favorite, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. But then a very important verse, charity never faileth. Did you catch that? Charity never fails. He said, of all the gifts, understand this, there is something that everybody can use, everybody can cultivate in their life. It's love, and it's greater than any gift you have. It's love. He says, however, charity never fails, but then what does he say? But whether there be prophecies, they sure fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Why? For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. What is that which is perfect? Now, it's not your spouse, so stop it. Okay? It's not your kid. You know, she's so perfect. No, she's not. Okay? No, that's not. What is perfect? Well, you look at the word, it means complete. The simplest way I could put it is, it means complete. In other words, through inspiration, Paul's writing. And he's continuing this flow about spiritual gifts and how to use them in the church. And there should be no division. And everybody has different gifts and operations. And we're to all use them to work together. And while we're doing that, remember the greatest of all. Cover your gift with the greatest thing of all, love. And then smack in the middle, he goes, why? Because some gifts, he says, will cease. But love won't. Well, what do you mean some gifts will cease? There are some things that are temporary in nature. Whether it be an apostle or a prophet by nature. But not just that, he lists them. Tongues. New knowledge. These things, you say, will vanish away. Well, then, preacher, when does that take place? He gives us a clue. When that which is perfect has come. Two things listed as perfect in the Word of God. Book of Psalms 19, Bible talks about the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Word of God is called perfect or complete. And Jesus Christ is called perfect. The only two things that have the level that he's talking about are either Jesus or the Word of God. Now, as you do a study of it, you found out there's a problem. Jesus had already come. Some people interpret that, well, when he comes back. The reason tongues and healings and supposedly miracles and those things are still being done today on stage is because people are interpreting and taking the second part of that, saying, well, the complete is Jesus. He's the only perfect thing there. So these are all good until Jesus Christ comes back. Oh, that sounds logical. I'll just be honest with you. It sounds really good. Just doesn't match. It's interesting, when this book was formed, and in 70 AD, when Titus came and ransacked Jerusalem, and about 20, 30 years later, when this was finally completed and put together, you don't see any more miracles. You don't see any more healings by people touching. You don't see any more tongues. You don't have any more writings that took place, any new knowledge. It all ceased. Why would it all cease? And happen to correspond with the completion of the 66 books of the Bible. Because God showed us very clearly that as soon as that came to pass, now listen, we don't need all that because we have a more sure word of prophecy. Remember the message we preached in the book of Peter? It's been about a month or two ago. A more sure word of prophecy. Peter said, I was up there. I experienced a transformation. I was there. I saw him transform. It was a miracle. And he said, greater than that is a more sure word of prophecy. Greater than seeing that. Greater than the speaking of tongues, as Paul's going to talk about in 1 Corinthians 14. Everybody was so hyped up about tongues that, ooh, I want to speak in tongues. I want to speak in tongues. And Paul in the chapter 14 says, stop it, stop it, stop it. You're putting emphasis on something not that important. He says, what's important is this, the word of God. He says in chapter 14, I'd rather speak five words someone can understand that is from God than anybody speak in tongues. And he says, apostle, I have the gift. He had multiple gifts. Many believe he had all the gifts. Why? Because he was an apostle. But the fact of the matter is this, no, we have something so much, we have the word of God. Folks, understand, if you do a historical study, you do a Bible study, you'll see them correspond together. Well, are you saying God can't make people speak in tongues? God can do whatever he wants. But God also told us what he was going to do. You see, we don't limit God, folks. We don't ever limit God. What we do is we take what God says and we believe it. There's a big difference. And the reason we're against the sign gifts today are basically this. When God completed and gave us this full revelation that we believe is inerrant and infallible, it is all we'll need until Jesus Christ comes back. It is our protection. We don't need people standing up with tongues that we can't understand. We don't need people standing up with new knowledge and new prophecy. We don't need that. Why? Everything we need is right here. Right here. But then there's something greater besides that. So besides this wonderful word of God, he says in the last verse, and most of you know it, faith, hope, and love or charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. Can I stop for just a second and remind you that as you're finding your spiritual gift, it is completely useless if you don't do it in love. Did you catch that? I mean, useless. You say, well, I got my gift, preacher. I got it down. I'm a servant. You know, it's wonderful to serve, but I'm going to tell you something. You will not get everything out of serving if you don't do it out of love. If you don't come because you love Jesus and you love people, you're going to serve, and I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. You're going to get burned out. You're going to get burnt out. I remember reading the story of a pastor, and of course, I'll read stories like that because I am one. And he was pastoring a church, and all the burdens of the church began to just get to him. And he realized that, and he was serving, and he was ministering, and you had the bickering of this group and the fighting of this group, and you had all the little things that happen in a church that can be negative. And you're trying to help this family, and they drop out. You're trying to help this person, and they don't seem interested, and you're preaching and you're teaching, and nobody seems to be responding or even caring about it. And you can get to the point of saying, what's the use? And he said, I began developing this I don't care attitude. You know, just going through the motions. Who cares? He said he took a little break. They went on vacation, and he said, as he took a break, he was in this town, and he decided to just go to the park, kind of get away and pray and read a little bit. So he went to the park. He says, as he sat there, he says, an amazing thing transformed his life. Three kids showed up, 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and a 6-year-old. 12-year-old, I think her name was Diana, if I'm not mistaken. She shows up, and they sit down. I mean, they sit down right next to the whole park. They sit down right next to the preacher. He's looking for quiet, peace and quiet, and there they sat. Sure enough, the 12-year-old liked to talk. She said, hi. Well, they come, and they were dirty. They didn't play in the park. Clothes weren't real great. He didn't think a whole lot about it. But all of a sudden, they sit down, and this girl just begins to unload her life story. And there with the 10-year-old sister and a 6-year-old brother, she begins to explain what had taken place. She says, do you mind if we sit here? Of course, you want to say, yes. She says, no, go ahead. He goes, yeah, well, mom and dad just dropped us off. Well, actually, it's not my dad yet. You know, mommy's going to leave the present daddy because he's mean. And now she's engaged to this other guy. But they needed some downtime. And so they gave us a little bit of burrito. And they sent us to the park here, which they normally do. And they're out at the casino. And they went on to explain their life and how they were just literally tossed aside as kids. And he sat there and all of a sudden he says, literally a burden just began to develop inside of me. As I realized, you know what? This is what it's all about. It's reaching people in need with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And all the bickering and all the silly little things and the people that don't care, he says, they're going to be there. He says, but I can't focus on them. I got to focus on what God's called me to do. And that is to love these people. He said it totally changed his ministry. When he said, I refocused on what was important. I thought about that and I said, you know, really, wouldn't that help all of us? Wouldn't it help all of us? We realize, hey, wives, you got the dirty work. Let's just be honest. You cook. You clean. You clean up the dirty stuff. The stuff us men can't handle. Why? We're wimps. Hey, puking up. You know, we can't handle it. I mean, you're doing that all day long. I don't know how you do it, really. I don't know how you keep going. Can I tell you how you keep going as a wife? You go in love. You go in love. You don't keep following your husband and respecting your husband because he's good and right. You would quit like that. He said, why do you keep loving your husband? Why do you keep loving your family? That's it. Love. You do it because of God. You do it because God wants you to look at them in the way that he sees us and love. Husbands, why do you love your wives? Why do you love your kids? Why do you do what you do for them? Love. Really, the basis of everything should be love. It's not what you're giving. It's not what you're getting. It's love. Now take that into the church. You find your spiritual gifts. So, preacher, I got it now. This is my spiritual gift. What do? You do it out of love. Because if you do something, you don't do it out of love, let's just be honest, you'll get tired of it. And I know we all get physically tired. I'm not talking about that. You'll get mentally burned out. And you'll start making crazy decisions and silly mistakes because you forgot what the main thing was. You know what the main thing is? It's great. Love. Now, the world messes that up. We're not talking about the world's eros, erotic love. We're talking about biblical love. And I thought about that and I said, Apostle Paul, you're smart. In the midst of you have this gift and you have this gift and all the bickering that could take place and the warning about no division, he gives us the one key to stop it. You come in this building every single time you come in with this spirit. You come in with the greatest gift of all, love. And whatever your spiritual gift is, you bathe it in love. Wait, you teaching character class, Joseph Steele? Yeah. That can be rough if you don't have duct tape. Talked about that a couple weeks ago. You know how you keep teaching character class, Joseph and Ruth Ann? There's only one way to do it. If they go in and just look at the kids, I'm pretty sure I'd have a resignation letter on my desk every single week. Because no offense, some of your kids are brats. I didn't want to tell you, but Joseph said I had to. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's not always easy. It's not like they come in and sit down and go, teach us, oh master. You're just like, okay, get off the wall. Yeah, I'm talking to you. Where's the taser? Who's got the taser? Hey, you know what it's like. Well, how does somebody keep doing that? I keep coming in. Because you realize they might just find Jesus. And not just them, their parents. I make people write out their, by the way, if you come for premarital counseling, you have to write out your testimony. So Ben and Jerry Lynn are getting married. That's cool. Can I share this, Ben? Sure, Pastor, go right ahead. Thank you, Ben, for sure. So Ben wrote out his testimony. Of course, we know Ben. He's growing up here. But in Ben's testimony, as he writes it out, he explains to me that he got saved in character class. And so Kruger's teaching and going away with the lesson. And all of a sudden, he goes forward. Kruger takes him to the side. Leads him to the Lord. So, matter of fact, I think it's a neat thing because you never know what your impact's going to be. You say, well, what keeps you going to where maybe the kids or the dad, the mom, somebody gets saved? You go in every week saying, I'm here to give them the love of Christ. And regardless of what's taking place there, I'm going to use my spiritual gift out of love. Well, it's not that you're always going to have an exciting day. It's always going to be fun. It's going to be difficult sometimes. But what's going to bring you back is love. It's going to be love. Coming to Central Baptist Church, you're going to meet some interesting individuals. That's a polite way to say weird. We got some rude people. You say, show them to me. Oh, you'll find them. Nah, they'll find you. I really got some people that haven't learned that they talk first before they think, and things come out of their mouth, and they just offend people. You say, how do you keep going to a church when people offend people? You can't go anywhere without that, trust me. But really, if you don't come in saying, yeah, you know, that did hurt. Boy, I wish they wouldn't have said that, you know. But you say, you know, I'm just going to love them. I'm not going to let that distract me. I'm here for a greater purpose, to glorify God and to see people saved and use my gift for the body of Christ. And I'm going to learn to love the unlovely. And I'm going to learn to bathe my gift in love. Why? Because I'm convinced that's what will keep you going. You see, you'll never lose your gift, but you may quit using it. But if that's not going to happen, I think Paul gives us the key. We have to do it out of love. Because if we're doing it for somebody else, or we're doing it just for ourselves, it's going to get old. It's going to get old. Look at Kyle, bus ministry. How many years have you been doing that? 202? Pretty much. Yeah, several years. It's not easy. Matter of fact, I remember when we first asked Kyle to do it, he's like, is there nobody else in the church? I thought, you want me to be, really, I don't even like kids. You want me to be the best ministry? And you heard his testimony, what, a couple weeks ago? Now he loves kids. He said, why? That's key. He loves kids. Now it gets hard sometimes. It gets difficult sometimes. But what makes a guy come back every week, comes out on Saturday morning, visits kids, gets on a bus, makes sure everything's organized, and they come to church, has to do the discipline thing. In other words, when they're rowdy in your class, you bring them to Kyle. He's got to take them home, talk to them. That's not the fun stuff. Why do that every week? One reason. Love. They just might accept Jesus Christ. Now, folks, we can go on and on about love, but can I just help you? I thought about it. I was studying earlier this week, and I was going to go a totally different direction, but God just kind of stopped me because I just noticed, I guess, really even myself, the love chapter is right smack in the middle of the gift thing. So normally we just kind of pick that out to a couple verses on love and we go on our way. But wait a minute. It's not a coincidence. You say, what do you mean? I looked up Ephesians chapter 4. You might remember we were over there. In Ephesians chapter 4, beginning in verse 11, explains the spiritual gifts. You get to verse 15, and it says this, but speaking the truth in love may grow up to him in all things. Well, that's funny. That's in another gift area. And then I went to this place called Romans chapter 12. You might remember that. We were there this morning. Please tell me you remember that. And down in verse like, I don't know, 9, 10, you're kind of reading down. If you go back there and you're reading, and he lists the gifts, and it kind of like he changes. It's like all of a sudden now he's got a new thing going. He says, and let love be without dissimulation. See, I read that and stopped it this morning. Never said a word about it. We just stopped there. It was purposeful. Why? I went up and looked in all three areas where the gifts are talked about. Interesting. Paul interjects through the Holy Spirit every time. Are you ready? Love. In other words, your spiritual gift is not effective unless you do it in the spirit of love. You can do it without love, but it's not effective without love. And it won't profit you or the body of Christ as effectual as it could. So what are you saying, preacher? As much as I hate to say it, we all need to be a little bit more lovey-dovey. I think just maybe we ought to check our spirit to say, am I ministering with the same spirit that God ministers to me? And that is out of love. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm so glad Jesus loves me. And I'm so glad that every single week he looks at John Waterloo, not because of who he is or what he's done, praise God for that, but out of love, he forgives me, he accepts me, and he lets me be in his church. I'm like, wow. What would happen if every believer here started operating their gift with the greatest, if you want to call it, gift of all, love. And it's a gift everybody can possess and everybody should. So as you're finding your spiritual gift, let me help you. Make sure you find love first. And if you find that, I think we'll be okay. If we'll just love one another. Amen. Let's go ahead and stand. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you and praise you once again, Lord, for your word. Lord, we've had many messages about love and the importance of love. But Lord, I pray we look at it from the primary interpretation you want us to. Paul wrote this out of inspiration, Lord, because he was talking about spiritual gifts. Lord, you knew that if we all came together and did not use our gifts in the spirit of love, there would be pride, there would be arrogance, there would be division, there would be problems. And how often do we see that in churches? Gifted people spiritually that can't seem to get along because they've forgotten the greatest gift of all, and that is love. Lord, I pray that you'll teach one of us to search our hearts and learn to love better. I think none of us have probably attained in that area. And often we lose our focus and get off track because we forget what it's all about. But Lord, it's really not about any individual. It's about you. It's about loving you and loving others, the greatest two commandments. And Lord, if we apply that to this passage, we find out, Lord, that if I'll just use my gift of the spirit of love, I will profit and the body will profit regardless of what others do. So Lord, help us, I pray, to learn to follow your word and learn to love. And we thank you and praise you for it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if the Lord's spoken to you in some way throughout the messages this week and last week, and you need to spend some time with him, I challenge you to come. We'll open the invitation for just a few minutes. Page 155, have that in our way.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, we invite you to stop by and visit us. We're just 1 mile north of Ponca City at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. Give us a chance to get to know you. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.